And good morning, and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is January 11th, 2026, and we're glad that you're here, and we thank you for being here with us this morning. That message that we had by Pastor Peters wasn't more of a, it was more of a infomercial than anything else, and I was working on that this week because I had a couple people that had called in and ordered that message, and wanted to... I just figured that I'd play it, was working on it already, and it's a really good compilation of information and resources that we have to offer. And we still do have all of the resources that you saw on that in that Truth for the Times broadcast. The only difference is we don't have cassette tapes anymore. They come on CD. Anyway, good information. If you'd like any of the information that's in there, you can write to us. Just as a reminder, don't write to Truth for the Times. You can write to La Porte Church of Christ or Scriptures for America at the Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado 80535. I enjoyed that. Good, valuable information. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Before we get started, we're going to have a song.
Become men of God again, hurrah, hurrah. say when men become in a God again. That all believe be baptized and cleansed again. When men become in a God again, they'll be cleansed from their guilty sin. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. It's safe to say when men become in a God again, they'll learn to love and hate again. Sing, make melody in their hearts again. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. It's safe to say when men become in a God again, Satan's system Babylon will come to an end. When men become in a God again, the kingdom of Christ will be ushered in.
And let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this land, and we thank you, Father, that we're your people. Lord, we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon us as we gather together here and those that gather with us through the internet and through DVD Church. And we pray, Father, that you just continue to just use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father. Let this small church continue to bring forth truth and be with these messages wherever they may go, Father, that they may be a blessing to your people and all to your glory and all for your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, a couple of announcements. I don't have much time here, but this week was on January 8th. I woke up and was thinking about Gordon Call, and I played that song just before, prior to us coming up here live, and went to work, and I got a file that's a Gordon Call file with some videos that were pretty rough shape and stuff, and it's sometimes when I have a few minutes, I'll work on those, and it's stuff that's just not pressing, but it's stuff that I've been working on. And came across some information, was doing some research and doing a little writing, and I looked and I realized that it was Gordon Call's birthday on January 8th. He was born in January 8th, 1920. He would have been 106 years old. And I've talked to several people recently that don't really know the Gordon Call story or anything about Gordon Call. And for a lot of our forefathers, my parents and my grandparents and stuff, it was an eye-opener. And it was, in a lot of ways, it was a birth to the Patriot movement when they seen what had happened and the murders that took place and just a lot of information. And anyway, I sat down and put together, finished a couple of videos. And they're not perfect, but they're... I did get them posted. If you go to scripture or sfaw.org and go to the resources page, there's a link under there that says Gordon Call. And there's two videos. One of the videos is just a narration of information that was done here at the LaPorte Church of Christ on the Gordon Call case. And the other one was a memorial that Pastor Peters attended in 1989 down in Arkansas. Both fantastic videos. If you get time to watch it or don't know the story, look into it. There's some really good resources there, and I hope you take advantage of those. I also did get it posted up on the Newswire at sfawbn.com. Just some really, really good information. Wanted to share that with you. Also working on Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, and so do ask that you keep that in your prayers. We've got a lot of new subscribers to that, which I'm very thankful for and grateful for, and but there's a lot of work that goes into it, and do appreciate if you would just continue to keep that in your prayers as well. And last night we recorded, me and Zach did a recording, and we prayed before we went on and did this message, and I think it's a good one. I simply titled it Faith 2.0. It's continue on faith, and do ask that if you guys keep Brother Zach in your prayers. He was exposed to COVID several times and ended up getting it real bad, and didn't eat for several days, and just he said he's had it several times, but it was the worst time that he's had it, and it was a nasty one. He was starting to feel better yesterday, and but do ask that you continue to keep Brother Zach in your prayers as well. And we'll have that message, Faith 2.0, and we'll be back for communion in just a few minutes.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, January 11th, 2026, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. Kind of hard to say 26. I almost said November. I don't know why. For some reason I wrote that down on my notes. It's not November anymore. So it's actually January, but that's crazy. So anyway, we're going to begin by starting by defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. And if you heard me say it many times before, if you don't know the Word, then the Old Testament, the promises with Abraham, the prophets, the laws, the new deal that God promised the sons of Israel and the sons of the house of Judah in the book of Jeremiah, then you do not know who Jesus Christ is. If you think you do, and you don't understand that the new covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, I'm here to inform you that you are friends with the wrong Jesus. You have to be biblically educated in order to know him, and you pretty much just got to take everybody's word, throw it out the window, start studying and comparing what other people say if it lines up with what the Word that became flesh said. And that's all I got to say about that. So, last time I was with you, I wasn't with you last week. I'd been running some calls a few days before I was supposed to record, and I had a patient that I was at his place several times, and he ended up giving me the gift that kept on giving. And I ended up being sick for about 5 days, and it was pretty miserable. But the last time I was with you, back in December of 2025, we talked a little bit about faith. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about faith. And before I get into it, I was just kind of some things that I've been noticing. So I've recently been helping out a guy with his business, and I've been doing some deliveries for him. And when I go to these places, I'm delivering de-icing salt is what I'm doing. And you go to these maintenance shops, and there's all these young men in there. They're supposed to be in charge of maintenance of these apartment complexes or, you know, schools, whatever. I noticed, when we get these the salt on the truck, we can haul 5 pallets on the truck. And each pallet is, how much is it? They're about 1,200 pounds. They come in 50-pound bags. You got to hand unload them. And, you know, I'm almost 49 years old. But I'm kind of under the mentality I got to keep rocking while I still can. So I watch all these young guys. And I know when I was a young man, if I had seen an older gentleman, you know, doing what I'm doing for the company, it's just for, I only got to do it for like another week or so. But there is no way I would let, I didn't like to say this, an old guy, I don't consider myself an old guy, do that kind of work by himself if I'm standing there. If I was in my 20s, there's no way. For one, my old man, if he seen me act like that and just walk away or whatever, he would have my butt so fast, it wouldn't even be funny. You just don't allow that type of thing to happen. And I got to thinking about it. You know, in this country, our political arena, we're pretty divided. Everyone's complaining. They're complaining about the economy. They're complaining about this or that. If you don't have nothing to complain about, then, you know, you're doing pretty good. But, you know, if you are a lazy individual, you don't have a good work ethic, you know, and then you sit there and expect things to go well in your life, you are just on the wrong track. You know, motivated people, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what goes on in their life. It doesn't matter about their setbacks. They're motivated. They're going to win no matter what. They learn to expect resistance. They learn to expect. Because if you don't have, in my mind, if you don't have resistance, then you know you're not going the right way. And I sit there and I see so many people that are comfortable in this country. They complain about everything. But it just seems like they themselves are unwilling to take the necessary step for themselves, for whoever they work for their family, in order to provide a better future. Whether it be helping an old man or an older guy unload 5 pallets of salt, you sit there and you let him do it himself, which is fine. You know, that's fine. I can hack it. You know, I don't need your help. I'm not going to ask for it. I don't care. You do you. I'm going to do me. What I'm going to do is, no matter what happens and whatever's set in front of me, I'm going to accomplish that goal. That way I can pay my bills. And I'm not one of these cats that's got my hands out and in need. I'm just not going to, that's just not the way I'm geared. You know, when I was a young man, you know, the guys that trained me, they were hard men. And now they're all in their, they're all in their 70s and 80s. And those guys trained me, and I still talk to some of them. And I can see that they look at myself and like other guys that I was involved with at that time in my life, and all those other guys, they're all hard chargers. And I can see that they're proud of the work and the discipline that they instilled in our life. And, you know, I look at these young men today, and that is what they do not have. There's a whole generation of young people out there. Now, get me wrong, I'm like one of the biggest fans of the young people because they know how to handle information better than anybody. But what they lack in, and I'm talking as a whole, not saying every single one of them is like this, because there's always going to be a handful of savages out there. But where are the men that train them to be disciplined? Where are the men that are set in front of them to train these young guys to form a goal in their mind, teach them how to make a decision and make the step forward, and to create a future and a legacy for their family and their community to be prosperous? You know, I sit there and I talk to some guys. There's this one old fruit farmer that I work for. He's not old. He's actually younger than me. And he's a third generation fruit farmer. and we get to talking, and he's a business owner, I'm a business owner, and when business owners talk, it's actually a different language. And the thing that he was able to accomplish, or his family was able to accomplish, was to teach the proper lessons in order to keep what grandpa or great grandpa started, to keep it profitable, maintained, expanding. So that way, their effort from 2 and 3 generations ago wasn't wasted. On the other hand, I've known other people where businesses were handed down, and those people that received that business, they didn't put the foundation, they didn't understand the foundation, they didn't understand the mechanics of how things work, and they run it into the ground because they thought they were on easy street. I'm going to tell you something. There is no free lunch ever. Somebody's always going to pay. Somebody's always going to pay. And when I sit there and I work my business and I build it and I add and I try to expand it, I don't do it for me. I do it for my sons, my daughters. I do it for my partner's sons, because I want them to be able to have an opportunity to step into something to where they don't have to start from scratch. Because when you start something from scratch, it's just really, it's really tough to get off the runway. But, you know, back to like those 2 and 3 generations ago and their legacy, and a lot of these guys, they're gone now. I knew them personally, and they started these big fruit farms and companies, and then they were able to train their sons and daughters to run it and build trust funds and to maintain it. So that way, there is never a lack of luck, but yet there is discipline. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, why is this wannabe preacher tree guy talking about this? Those generations before built that foundation, not for them. I'll give you an example. My grandfather, on my dad's side, I'm going to use my dad's side. He was adopted in back during the Depression. And he bought a farm, and he worked for it. And he made it profitable. You know, I mean, after World War II, I mean, there was a great economic time. And he played his card right and paid the farm off. And then it was handed off to, you know, my dad and his sibling, and then, you know, it's getting worked that way. It's getting transferred over to the right people. But his labor was not in vain. And I hope if my grandfather were to see what's going on now with what 3 generations now, like what his grandsons are doing, I would hope he would be extremely proud, and that he would know that the work ethic, the discipline that he put into my dad, that my dad put into us, paid off, and it wasn't for nothing. And you think, well, he's dead. What does he care? When I'm dead, I hope that my children are able to sustain what I have built. Why I am doing this, it is called faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. The belief in things that is not seen, but you know it's there. That is what faith is. Now, I know I am not going to see it. Like with my grandkids, because I don't say I'm not hard. See, I got one son that I'm training really hard right now. I'm not hard on him. I'm fair and I'm truthful. But I know if I teach him properly, he will be able to pass the baton down to the next generation. And that's what faith is. And we're going to talk about that, because it is a biblical mindset. Because if you think about it, when God started promising Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all these things, Abraham never saw it. But when we were going to read in Hebrews later on, if I shut up and stop rambling, you'll see his faith secured the future. And that's really what it's all about. So back to what I was saying, these young men of this generation, the white Anglo-Saxon is becoming more of a minority every single day. They have less motivation to work. They have higher interest rates. They got, they're faced with $2,500 to $3,500 a month mortgage payments when they're making probably $35-$40 an hour, which is impossible, and to raise a family and to keep a wife at home. These are the odds that they're against. And nobody's telling them there's a different way. There's nobody's giving them the you can do it attitude. Nobody's telling them, hey, you need to start a business. Hey, there's other things. There's other ways of going about this stuff. Their future seems hopeless to them, and rightfully so. Bad training, no discipline, lack of work ethic, crappy jobs out there. I mean, if you're a teenage boy, you say you're 16 to 18, nobody wants to hire you because you're not old enough. You know, when I was a kid, I could go get a job. I worked 40 hours on a dairy farm every single week. I had a full-time job, you know. Kids can't do that nowadays. There ain't no dairy farm. And the ones that are there, I mean, they're 35, 40, 4,000 head of cow. It's all Mexicans doing it. They don't want to do that work. You know, they're going to get paid $18 an hour. For what? We need faith, motivation, and direction. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We begin by reading in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? It's a question. He's asking, will God delay over the righteous and the elect who cry out to him day and night? Verse 8. I tell you what, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, when I look at faith, there's, you know, you have healing faith, and you have faith like goal faith. And I'm more of a goal faith type of guy, okay? I set a goal, I make a decision, and I start taking the steps towards it. Even though it doesn't exist yet in my mind, it's going to. It's going to be there sooner or later. It's going to be a physical reality. But what Jesus is asking here, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith? I believe that faith is discipline, goal setting, believing the word of God. If I obey, then I will be blessed. If I disobey, then I'll be cursed. If I obey and my heart is right, and I'm doing it to honor the Lord and Jesus Christ, then I will be successful. Now, yes, there's going to be things in the way that set back, test. You know, God's like, well, do you really want it? Well, here, figure out this problem. Every problem that you figure out, you know, it's just a stepping stone to get to your goal. It's okay to have problems. It's okay to not be comfortable. What does the Bible say? Don't lose faith of heart. All of this stuff works together. Despite faith is despite what you see. Despite what the current situation that you're in, you know the goal will be obtained. We as Christian men and women need to understand that our goal is to set up Jesus Christ's kingdom here on earth. Now, if you and I put in the legwork, like right now, like when I'm talking to you, I'm putting in legwork because I'm putting in people's minds, you need to work. You need to work towards the goal of the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, which is the word that became flesh, which is to set up his kingdom, and everybody knows who's the King of King and Lord of Lord. That is the goal. We need to put in the legwork. We need to build the system. We need to support the ministry. We need to plant in the people's minds the goal. We need to give them an avenue of how you're going to obtain it. Well, what's the avenue? Obey. Uphold God's law. That's the avenue. Preach that the Bible is a political system, not only just a salvation system. It's a political system to run your life, your family, your nation, the world. Judeo-Christian preachers don't preach that. But that's exactly what this book is. It is a political system in order to delegate prosperity to the righteous and punish the wicked. And if you're the wicked underneath God's system, you're going to know why you're being punished. It's because you violated his statute. You violated his law. You committed sin. That is the avenue. That is our goal. This is what our mission is. And that's it. That's what we're here to do. So if you put in your mind's eye, this is the goal, and you make the decision, and I make the decision, we are taking a step today to go in that direction, just me, myself, because I can't make you make that decision. You can't make me make that decision. That is faith. Is it there yet? No. Are there wicked rulers ruling over the land? Yes. Why? Because of disobedience. When we take that little step, then when Jesus asked that question, when I find faith, then the answer is yes. Yes, it is. Now, you and I might not see it come into complete fulfillment, but we can put in the legwork just like my grandfather did and other guys that, and I'm sure there's you people out there, you know as well, that have built systems and whatever that have benefited their family and the communities and all this other stuff. Those are men of faith. Those are men of vision. Those are men of that can see into the future. Probably Israelites. I mean, Israelites are the ones that are the most innovative. They create the most peace. They make the best tools. They create the best political systems. They create the best. they just do everything good. You go. I mean, the Jews don't. They just want to rule over everything. The African communities, they haven't even built a boat to leave their own continent. It's 2026. So if we make those steps, those little steps, then what did Jesus say? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go into the sea, and it'll get up and go. You have to believe it. I have to believe that we can do it. Jesus said, you can do greater things than I did. What's our goal? Our goal is to establish Kingdom of Heaven here on earth, Jesus Christ's political system. Now, whether we see it or not, that remains to be seen. But I want to be one of those guys that put in the legwork to prep the field in order to make that come true. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I begin by reading in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is what I've been talking about. That's the only definition I can use for faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for. You got to know it and believe it in your gut. It is the conviction of things not seen. If it's convicted, it's done. You have to walk towards it. You have to walk towards it. Verse 2. For by it, men of old gained approval. This is how you gain approval, as the Bible says. Do not be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. What's going on between your ears? What is motivating your action? Is it inward greed? Is it keeping up with the Joneses? Or is it to honor the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he gave you and I the ability to do it. Really what it boils down to is, who gets the honor? who gets the credit? God created all things. And he created the ability that he put into me and you and everyone else out there to accomplish the goals that he set in front of us, that he said we could do. He said to Google. In other words, go in the whole world, preach the gospel, tell them who came, who died, salvation's at hand, and here's my political system. That's what he said. Our forefathers here in this country back in the 16 and 1700s understood that. Do what is right, and you will not have anything to worry about. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the world were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's actually very interesting. What does this say? When I was preparing this evening to record this, it said world, the world. There's more than one. They were prepared by the word. The Lord spoke. He thought. He thought. And they said, let there be light. He thought. He said, let there be a divide between the water and the land. He said. He said. He thought. He said. Action. And it was so. When you read Genesis 1, it's like the most pure form of faith and thought and action and just boom, done. You know, we got so much stuff in our minds we can't even, like, it's hard for us to even grasp. We're so weighted down with worries of this world because of sin, but we need to learn to set it aside, set the goal, and move forward. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God better sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained testimony that he was, that's a page, righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, he was dead, he still speaks. Did you hear what he said right there? Through faith, he's dead, but he still speaks. It's because of his action. It's because of his intent. It's because who he was honoring. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. He obtained the witness that before his being taken, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith just isn't in your head. Faith, if you act, how do I put this? Faith is acting on what you believe. Faith is acting on what you believe. And if it goes back to the honor thing, if you're not giving God the honor and the glory and thanking him for the ability that he put in you, we're sunk. We are sunk. It's that simple. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, this is an example of faith and somebody being able to see it all be fulfilled and see it come full circle. And by Noah being faithful and believing what the Lord said, he condemned the entire world. Why? Because nobody else believed what the Lord said. Do you not think people are asking, oh, why are you building this big boat out here where there's no water? No, it's a, the Lord told me there's a flood coming. You better repent. 100 years. Where's your God now? Where's your God now? What was the end result? The entire world was condemned, and his family was heir of righteousness. That was Noah being able to see his legwork and what God said coming full circle. So that's one example of you know, we might get lucky. We might be sitting there doing this legwork. We might be able to see it come full circle. Maybe we should be more aggressive. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Before there was born even one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven, in the number of innumerable as the sand which are by the seashore. All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them, for having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking country, a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have opportunity to return, have had an opportunity to return. But as it was, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, what the author of Hebrews is saying here, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob did not see the promised land. They did not see their descendants take the land of Canaan as it was promised and form a nation. But they did see a child be born to Sarah after she was beyond years able to have a child. That's a pretty good motivator that God's word's true. They believed it. They believed his word. Although they never saw the promise. Think about it. Abram, his name was changed to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude of nations. What's your name? Abraham. Really? You got a 90-some-year-old wife? She's going to have a kid. They're going to form a multitude of nations. This is promised since Genesis 17. Okay. But history proves that their faith was righteous, approved by God, and they knew it. They could see it. It's like what I was talking to you earlier. The labor that I do is not for me. It is for the generations for my family after me. All too many times we see the older generation die off, and then the younger generation get greedy and they value the dollar signs instead of the asset, and they screw it all up and they piddle it all away, and it does no good for the generations to come. And they're oblivious to it, that they completely put the screws to the generations to come. Force them to do a bunch of extra work because they were not able to maintain. They're greedy. They lacked faith. They didn't understand the game. They didn't understand the ripple effect by them not doing what they're supposed to do. Will these people gain approval? Will they gain approval like Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob did? So far, what we've read. I'm not going to answer the question. I'm going to let you answer it. And if you're one of those ones that's falling short, you better repent and look your game over and get square A and get get to work. I mean, you still got time. You might as well do it. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, was offering up his only begotten son. And it was to whom he said, in Isaac your descendants shall be. He considered that God was able to raise people even from the dead, which he had also received him back as a type. Think about that. Abraham knew that through Isaac, that multitude of nations was to be formed. And God told him, offer him as a sacrifice. It did not matter the situation. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is faith. I don't know if I could do that to one of my sons. I don't know. I'm going to say I don't think I could do that. Because I love my son. Pretty tough. I mean, just think about what I said right there. I mean, it just kind of hit me. I hope I'm never faced with something like that. Step back a little bit. But I'm glad Abraham did it. And I'm glad God stepped in when he did. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph, and worship leaning on top of his staff. And by faith, when he was dying, he made mention of the Exodus concerning the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Jacob knew that they were going to be leaving Egypt. He knew it. And he said, think about it. The sons of Israel, when Jacob was still alive and he was dying, still had 400 years to go before they were out of Egypt. Jacob died in Egypt. So when the Exodus comes, you take my bones with you. I'm going with you. So the thought of like, well, what does it really matter to Jacob? So this stuff should matter to you and I. I'm going to stop reading right there because I see I'm out of time. Getting close to time. So what then? I believe that faith, for the most part, is acting on what you believe. Knowing it in your heart and your gut. Knowing that it physically exists, even before it exists. If you have, well, I mean, faith can work either way. I mean, you can do, you know, if you do evil, you know, people profit from doing evil. They know if I do this, then, you know, I'll get rewarded this way. Faith can work either way. It seems like Pastor Peter said one time, it's kind of like the universal thing. Kind of a universal thing. But what counts is where the honor is going and who you're doing it for. Who's the boss? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because the boss, this is why I'm with you every Sunday morning, to put in that legwork, to help strengthen your faith in your belief system. To encourage you guys to invite the church to listen and to gain more knowledge and to shore up the kingdom of heaven and to get the ball down the field the right direction for the touchdown. That's why I'm here every week. That way my kids have the same opportunities that I did do. And, you know, you might say, oh, you can't do that. I think I can. I think you can. The reason why I do is because our King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that. It's our commission. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to start walking in faith, taking those steps, your actions. Like, it doesn't matter how big or small. Everything that we do is for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior that allowed us to know the truth. And it's our job to spread the word. And how do we do that? By doing it in faith. Because if we don't do it in faith, then we will not receive approval. And with that being said, I'm out of time. For those of you that belong to our Lord and Savior, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciated that. I really enjoyed the last several messages that Zach's done on the subject of faith. And there's a lot to learn there. As we get ready, I know looking at the clock, we've got to move rather rapidly for communion. But just want to encourage people, pray for our nation and pray for this country, especially right now. It seems like, well, it doesn't seem like it. The enemy is fanning the flames, and with everything that's happened up in Portland, you know, it's very obvious that they want a George Floyd 2.0, and they want to start the riots. They're fanning the flames. They're dumping gasoline on the fires, and you know, I know that our enemy's hands are at work, and just encourage people to continue God's will to be done for the plots of the enemy to fail. And I really would encourage people to pray Psalms 83. I think it's a perfect prayer for the times that we're living in and what we're seeing happening. You know, they're making an uproar against us. And, you know, they hate Jacob has become more evident. And they do a lot of these things, and a lot of these things are taking place just to get your minds and your eyes off of the other things that are happening in the world. And, you know, just recently we went from $1 trillion to our national defense fund to $1.5 trillion. And when that happens, that means that, you know, you're preparing for a war to happen, a world war. And, they're preparing for war all over the European countries, all over all over the world. Everything from the hospital, and it's obvious that the enemy's hands are at work. And I think Psalms 83 is one of those prayers that we need to be praying. And you know, let them be caught in their plots. Let the weapons that they weaponize for us, let them be used against them. Those that dig the pit for us, let them be the ones that fall into it. They set snares for us, let them go in it. And just encourage people just to, you know, we hang on to your faith and, you know, smile at the future, but be prepared and keep praying. I think that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And they're using all their fortresses that they can. Against Jacob Israel, against our people right now. So I just wanted to start off with that. The scripture that I wanted to read for communion today, and I think this applies, and I think this is something that that can be taken through faith, and it ministered to me today, and I hope it does to you as well. Psalms 128, blessedness of the fear of the Lord. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for the body that was broken and the blood that was shed to give us access to these promises. Lord, we do come before you and we ask, Father, that you give us that fear of the Lord that so many people do not have. Lord, we pray that we fear you and that we reverence you in the way that we ought to. Lord, I thank you, Father, for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. And I thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. I thank you, Father, for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, that as we come together on this first day of the week and apply that blood to us, forgiven of our sins, and ask to be just do a work in us and through us, Lord. Let our batteries be recharged and let us be rejuvenated. We claim the healing power of this as we partake. We just ask, Father, that if there be any infirmities in our bodies, we pray, Father, that you get rid, that you take it. By the stripes laid on the back of Jesus Christ, we claim the truth that we are healed. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen. You may partake. A song, This Is My Father's World, and then we'll be back with a Truth for the Times, with Pastor Peters.
This is my father, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world, I in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declares their maker's praise. This is my father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In the rust as I hear him fast, he speaks to me everywhere.
This is our Father's world, and we are his children, descendants of Abraham. We serve the great I Am. And it is here, in this world, we labor and live to take dominion and establish his kingdom. Let all know indeed, this is our Father's world.
This is my father's world, or let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so.